Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
We are just a little bit over a week away from Chinese New Year.
You know what? Yesterday evening for me was characterized by running around trying to get pineapple tarts because my daughter decided she wanted to give them to her teacher for Chinese New Year.
Oh, so sweet.
So cute.
Mother.
But I have to say, I was really tempted to eat them before they went anywhere.
Oh, gosh. But, you know, one thing's for sure with regards to Chinese New Year is that things are going to be a little different in terms of celebration, you know, with the limits and whatnot. But we can all still look forward to the food, at least.
Yes. So what are the hot new snacks on offer this CNY? Which ones are flying off the shelves, I wonder?
Well, enter Old Sing Chung, who is known for its quality and quirky Asian-inspired bakes. You see, it's helmed by renowned local pastry chef Daniel Tay. He launched Baker's Inn, and it's best known for being the first to sell French pastries in Singapore.
Oh my goodness, I haven't had breakfast, and I am really feeling having breakfast now. So this year, Old Sing Chung has conceived several festive treats with a very inventive twist.
Yeah, they're offering local zizai-inspired crispy haluk. Basically, it's Cantonese fried prawns. I'm sure you've tasted that. Marmite chicken floss cookies. That's going to be interesting. And charcoal-infused bakwa pineapple tarts.
Wow. What does that taste like, I wonder?
Oh, gosh. Well, let's chat with him right now. Daniel Tay, the founder of Old Sing Chung. Daniel, good morning. How are you?
Good. Everything is fine. We are working very hard. Everything is sold out, so trying to get some rest this morning.
Everything sold out, huh?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And you're okay already, we don't need to do this, huh? I can taste all right, Daniel.
We still have sampling, some cookies left, but we still have some cookies left. But a lot of the items have sold out. We are actually short of the order. We are trying to fulfill orders now.
Can I just ask, is this a normal scenario? Are you always sold out at this point?
Actually, it was quite surprising. We thought we're still like in a COVID situation. We already projected double of last year, and yet now I think it's like almost going to be triple of last year or quadruple of last year. So it was quite amazing result for us. So
is this usually your most peak period in the whole year? Because there are many festival periods and many opportunities for you to experiment with snacks. But is Chinese New Year the busiest?
Oh, of course, because people are giving away stuff and gifts. And of course, gifting is one of our main business. We are in a gifting business. So in terms of packaging, we spend a lot of time and effort making a nice-looking packaging. And so people choose us because it's very suitable for gifting. Giving a gift to a friend, it looks good, and they keep the box. So that's something that we do very well during this period.
Yeah, and I think people come to you not just because of the packaging and everything else. It's also because you have...
Of course, it tastes great as well.
It tastes great, and you have this name, which is kind of part of a bit of heritage as well, isn't it? Can you just share with us a bit of the story?
My dad owns a Sing Chun Confectionery Bakery in Marine Parade many years ago. So, you know, as a youngest kid in the family and the one that don't study very well, so I try my luck in taking over the business. But I have a lot of bigger vision about just running a small bakery. So I wanted to expand. I wanted to rebrand and all this. So, but then I was too young and couldn't have a lot of business experience. And then within 1 year, my dad has to close down the store. So he sold away the property and retired. And after 30 years, and then I was really, really upset. My dad was upset. I was upset. Last few years, what I did was when my dad's still around, I decided to reopen this brand, Old Sing Chun. Mm. And he was very touched that I took the whole brand back.
Oh, that's brilliant that you've honored him that way. I'm curious, Daniel, with regard to some of these heritage recipes that I can't say you used, I would say more you're inspired by, because you also have quite a background in Western pastry. How do you blend the two together?
Okay, when we are all younger, we're always looking towards the West for inspiration, and we think that the West is the answer to my career or to whatever. And then later when I turn 40, I start realizing, hey, there's a lot more things for me to discover in the Asian heritage or Asian cuisine.
Mm.
So I decided to start doing little by little. First, we start with mooncake, and then we start with different products. And then now we have a lot of all traditional items. So I think, like, especially like mooncake is very, very traditional, but with the experience of a French pastry, the European pastry, everything is talk about taste and texture and layering. And I use that same experience and put it in my local delicacy.
Mm. Sounds amazing.
It's not just like a mooncake is sweet, but my mooncake has to taste a little bit of slightly smoky, slight bitterness, and then not so sweet. And after the aftertaste, there must be some flavor mingling around in your palate. That's where I'm after.
Okay, Daniel, so, you describe like that mooncake festival. We need to chope you. Got some samples? Let us know.
It is. imagine.
A chope early, you know, on
how do I put? We had bak kwa pineapple tart, right? But we had bak kwa mooncake as well. And people are like, are you sure bak kwa mooncake? And then when they tasted it, oh my God, this is like crazy. You cannot stop eating.
So it's not bak kwa taste, but it's actually the bak kwa inside.
Yes. Yeah, it's all bak kwa
inside.
Manisha
cannot have that, so you send it to me. Eh?
You know, you have bak kwa pineapple tart, right? During CNY.
Wow.
So people think it's like, are you sure? Are you trying to be funny? Are you trying to do the fusion kind of making yourself famous by putting funny things in your... But when you taste it, it's totally the whole flavor. It's amazing. It's just fantastic.
Yeah.
I really love this.
Yeah, the taste will tell. The taste will tell. But with that, you know, is there a bit of a resurgence in Asian-inspired flavors? Is there some trend here?
Oh, I think now the young people, everybody's, oh, yeah, it's interesting. Interesting to go into local cuisine and infuse with local cuisine. The word fusion is like a little bit bad word. I'm not doing fusion. A lot of people try to, in the early 2000s, I think a lot of people trying to do fusion food and they're trying to mix flavor and make it interesting, but not make creating a good tasting food. We're not trying to do fusion. We're just trying to make the flavor taste good.
What else do you have to look into here? I mean, when you've created a unique product, does that mean more emphasis on things like marketing or more emphasis on things like packaging, things to appeal to a wider audience? I mean, what's the ultimate goal?
I think, of course, taste is one of the most key component in my pastry, because I love the great tasting product. It's only taste where the people keep coming back to you. That's one. And the next thing is, if you create some taste, you just put it in the rubbish, you know, in a plain box. Mm. There's no value to it. People don't get excited, right? So you have to create something that people, wow, when they receive a gift from a friend, this looks great. But does it taste good? Does it taste good? Or maybe they will have a very skeptical feeling, oh, it's just probably good packaging, but don't taste good. But when they bite into their mouth, they, wow, this tastes great and the packaging is good. Yeah, I'm going to buy this next year, or I'm going to order for my friend or for my family.
But then,
I'm creating value in my product.
But one of the things that's had to happen over the last year is a lot of businesses, particularly in F&B, they've had to move online, haven't they? Have you done that? And how much of your revenue is coming from online versus your stores?
I'm actually doing Facebook Live myself. I retract the Facebook and then live when there's during the CB period. And then, the Facebook Live is amazing, and I'm creating a name for myself.
So what do you, and I do apologize for not having seen any of those, but what do you do on Facebook Live? You just introduce the product, like what we're doing now, and then you sell?
I'm having fun in Facebook Live. I don't just sell product. I'm having fun. It's an entertainment. It's like radio. It has to entertain. You don't just keep talking about music or just play music. People listen to you because you're entertaining. So I have to entertain. I have to crack jokes and for 2 hours, non-stop,
wow,
talking, communicating with my customers, and got a lot of fans, and they all love the product, and some have been kept buying. The only problem with my customers facing is their freezers are out of space. They got no more freezers to put my stuff there.
I think you can actually, since your products are so limited now, you can even do an auction. The most expensive bakwa mooncake.
You might make it into our While You Were Sleeping segment with that. We love auctions. But I did want to ask, though, you have spoken consistently in this conversation about taste, taste, taste. But if you're selling stuff online, how do people know what it tastes like?
They believe in me. I built my reputation through Baker's Inn and the long history of Daniel Tay, and once everything I put my name, the people trust. Oh, the Daniel Tay product, Daniel Tay stamp, it tastes good. That is the work that I've done for a long, long time. It's not like in a month I become famous and people start buying from me, but I have really built my name over many, many, many years.
So with that, Daniel, we're speaking to Daniel Tay, founder at Old Seng Chung. What would you say to other F&B outlets out there who've really struggled recently and they might not be as confident and as outgoing as you? What would be your advice to them?
I think they have to make changes to their business model. I think every business model, whether you're big or small, you have to be very agile to make a decision. You know, I'm glad that I'm not a big corporation where when I try to do my Facebook Live and get some income, a lot of the CFO and all this, oh, you can't do this. You know, I'm glad that everybody is supporting me and encouraged me to continue to do Facebook Live. It's a change, and when I make changes, the business grow. So when during a crisis, we cannot stick to the same format of business model. We need to have some, at least a 30% change to the model so that we can adapt to a current situation.
Mm.
But I believe all F&B doing very well now.
Just to quickly wrap up, what I've noticed or what we've noticed is that, and it's quite refreshing to hear someone value reputation above everything else in this food business. Obviously, that's something you can't hand over when you're still young. But eventually,
I'm
when you hand, still young,
I'm not young anymore.
But when you eventually hand over the reins, what will be the most valuable characteristic or thing that you would impart to your successor?
I think the one that is going to take over my business is not my kid. That's so we put it very clear.
Okay.
None of my children is going to be the one taking over. And mom, I can't let the business of this kind of a mindset to a child where, you know, they do not experience the same moment with me fighting with the business and also fighting with me during the crisis. I think it's good for them to start their own business and let them find their own way. And now I'm going to pass it on to somebody who is more capable within the company so that, you know, I believe in that way the business will do very well.
Yep. Start a show like The Apprentice.
Mm.
I think that'll be that
already
interesting.
It's quite a famous.
Already have I have good partners and I have good people running the business for me.
We've been speaking with Daniel Tay, founder of Old Seng Chung. Daniel, thank you very much for taking the time. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.